The reason we founded in the first place was because my son was stabbed to death in April 2011. And we discovered after a short period of time there wasn't a charity dealing with knife crime. There are various packages, youth package, workshop packages through education, but no charity dealing with knife crime. So we decided that we would start one.
Okie dokie. So what exactly does this charity do? What are these workshops going to be teaching us?
It's our package that we've worked on for a year, and it's going to go into all the youth environments. So that's any environment that deals with youths. And we have loads of members from the youth sector attending the workshop. And it's a package aimed at the youth, designed by the youth, for the youth, aiding them to make better informed choices about carrying knives and the consequences of carrying knives.
Do you think it will come across better from youths, you know, peers, rather than, say, a police officer standing there and saying, you know, we must not carry knives?
Absolutely. And I'll tell you why I think that, because there are educational packages that go into schools. And for me, you know, when a fire engine turns up at a school to do a talk on fire safety, the kids are more interested in the fire engine, and the men in the uniform not necessarily always listening to what the fire officer is saying. So for us, in order to inform the youths, we need it to be coming from the youths. Because, you know, as adults, it's not just enough for us to say, don't carry knives, and the reason why. We need to be telling them why and showing them why, and no better people can do that than the youths themselves.
So where are these youths from then?
From all various sectors of the youth service. So we have youths on our project working from Littledown Youth Centre, Pokesdown Youth Centre, Boscombe Youth Townsend Youth Centre, so all Muscliffe Youth Centre, so all various youth centres locally to where we are at the moment.
What do you reckon your son would have made of this?
Oh gosh, I don't know. I think he would think it was a good thing that I was doing, but I can also imagine, you know, Nicholas wasn't an angel by any means, and there were times when he did things in his life that in retrospect he shouldn't have done, and looking back, you know, he led a very good life at the end of his life and regretted all the things that he'd done before. And so he wasn't an angel, but I can imagine he'd be saying to me, especially as one of our trustees or our patron now is Martin Underhill, who's high up in the police force, he'd be saying to me, Mum, what are you doing breaking bread with the police? He would be sort of saying things like that. But he would also be saying, well done, Mum. I'm sure he would be. But at the same time, I'd like him to be here, and I wouldn't, and I'm not having to do this job. But sadly, that's not the way it is, and maybe we're given these things to do.
Well, I was going to say, what do you think you get out of it?
In a lot of ways, it's helped me cope, not necessarily with Nicholas's death, but it's helped me move on a little bit. At the beginning, it wasn't as easy. It was very hard to see past tomorrow. And there are still days now when I get to a stage where I think to myself, why am I doing this? Is it going to work? Is it worth me doing it? And really, I just want to get under the duvet and think, I can't do this anymore. And there are days when I feel I don't really want to be here. And I felt a lot of that when Nicholas first went. I just wanted to be wherever he is, wherever that may be. But it has helped me move on. It is positive. It will be his legacy. And it's a good cause.
I was going to say, you know, if like you say, it obviously is tragic and you would rather not be doing this
Absolutely.
At all, or speaking to me, and you'd rather be thinking Christmas presents at the
Absolutely.
End of the day. But I suppose if it stops one more family having to
Yes.
go through that, what you've gone through.
Yes, because, you know, what our aim is to get the youths to look at both sides of that coin. So we're not just looking at the victim like myself or Nicholas's friends and our family as such and our community. We're also looking at the side of the perpetrator, because they also have a community, whether that be parents or families. Whoever committed the crime still has a community of friends somewhere. And I tried to think very hard, not long after Nicholas died, as to how would I cope if he'd have been the one who committed the crime. Would I have had the support that I've had? Probably not. Would I have been able to live in this house where I've been for 20 years? Probably not. Would my daughter be able to walk down the road without someone saying to her, your son killed somebody? She wouldn't have coped with that, and I wouldn't have been able to cope with it for her. So there are lots of negatives, but because we were the victim, we haven't had that, but the family of the victims clearly must suffer that in some way. So for us, it's not just one environment of people that affected, it's two. Because even if you lose your son through death, like we have, we are grieving for him. But if your son or your daughter is the one who's committed the crime and now has to spend X amount of years in prison, you're also going to grieve for that person. You know, there are various things that you're going to go through, like I did. Did I do enough? Could I have changed it? anger, regret, thinking about the things. Did I show him I loved him enough? Did I teach him the right things? You know, regardless of whether you're the perpetrator or the victim, you're still going through that set of emotions. So it's not just one family that's affected, it's both sides of that coin. And I think in order to empower the youths, we have to show them both sides of that coin. We leave the choice to them. If they want to carry a knife, that's their choice to do. But let's give them the information that goes with that choice.
Well, will you be speaking at these sorts of events as well? Do you think that that's, you know, the fact that they were, are hearing from victims' families, perpetrators' families as well, maybe if they did want to speak, do you think that would help?
I do one-to-one counselling. I have done that already. I've also been in the prisons talking to prisoners who are in there because of knife offences, because in order to find out why they do it, you sort of need to talk to the people that are doing it. I think, from a personal point of view, it's good for them to know a real life story. This isn't Mel Gibson, we're not Tom Cruise, this is actually someone's life we're talking about here. But we have a guy called Ben Selby who is a knife victim. He will also be doing, he's part of the workshops. His face was slashed in the V Club. So he is now a trustee for our charity and he'll be doing his bit. We do at this stage, we hope, have an offender.
So these workshops, obviously, it's a free workshop. It's happening in Wareham. Are they going to be held throughout the rest of the South, or are you going to try and take them nationwide? What are you going to do?
Initially, tomorrow we launch the workshop. We have various members of the youth sector going, so that's youth offending, probation, EDAS, YMCA, BCHA, the police, various organisations that deal with youths. And our aim is that we invite several members from each organisation to come along to a presentation that we will be doing later, probably in January, so that we train them in our workshop so that they can roll out within their own organisation. Because clearly I can't go everywhere and do everything, and nor, to be honest, nor do I want to, because I think we need to get the people within their own organisations to be doing it. So once they see the workshop tomorrow, they know what it's about, they know what it involves. We'll be inviting them then to submit some people, which we will train in the workshop, and they'll roll it out. And it won't just be, well, I've got to go because the boss says I've got to go. It'll be people that are vetted so that we actually know they're involved in what we're doing. They see our vision. And it is for free. The workshop training will be for free. But there will also be, it won't be something that they can just say, well, I've got that on my CV. They will have to use it. There will be evaluation forms and there'll be monitoring forms. So it's something they will have to roll out within their organisations, maybe two or three times a year, or maybe more if they feel it needs to be more. So it is a free presentation and we are hoping it gets into the schools. And that's our project for now. But we have clearly other projects that we are going to be looking at later on in the year.
Do you think just knives are an easy weapon to get hold of? It's not like a gun, or is it? Do you see what I mean? It's just easy to grab it in the spur of the moment.
It is. Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, we have knives in our home.
Yeah.
And clearly the guy that killed Nicholas, he was in a flat. Knives were readily available in the kitchen, so they're easy to pick up. And that's another thing that we're looking at with parents, because we think the best teachers of children are their parents. I have got so many knives in my drawer. Would I notice if one went missing? Probably not. Would I investigate that? Would I look to see? Would I assume I chucked it out with the vegetables on Sunday when I did the potatoes? Or would I think, could it be somewhere else? Is my child different? Are things going on in my home that I'm not noticing? And would you investigate that further? We teach our children not to put the hand in the fire because it's hot. Don't touch the oven because it burns. Look both ways when we cross the roads. So it's also our responsibility to be teaching them that the dangers of knives and the fact they stay in the kitchen. And the problem with knife crime is, unless you're affected by it, you don't think about it. Knife crime never entered my radar before Nicholas died. I never have thought about knives. Nicholas certainly never carried a knife. And so it's not something that you readily think of. But I think it is an easy tool to pick up. And another one of our projects will be going into the retail sector next year and looking at how knives are packaged, how they're displayed, how they're sold.
How does knife crime and an incident as unfortunate as your son impact a family and the wider area?
I don't know. For me, it changed my life. It's funny, within one sentence, your whole life changes. When the CID came and told me that my son had been killed, from that moment on, my life was different. Everything that I thought was solid in my life suddenly became unsolid. And you go through a set of emotions. I very much questioned for a long time whether I'd trained Nicholas right as a mum, whether I loved him enough. What did he know I loved him enough? Did I didn't ever doubt that he loved me. But there's so many things that you question about your own lifestyle. And what could I have done differently? And a lot of the time, I took a lot of that responsibility on board, thinking I should have been there to save him, because as a role as a mother, we feel that we are protectors of our children, and that doesn't change no matter how old they are. And for a long time, that was really hard for me to think. I should have been there. I wasn't there at his last moments. He didn't carry any ID. They didn't know who he was. So I didn't get to say goodbye to him, which was really, really hard. But just the fact that your life can change in a second, and someone can pick up a knife and take someone's life that easily, and within seconds your life is, as you knew it, is over, is hard to describe. It's not something you can put into words, really. And I do know that within Nicholas's circle of friends, it has made them look twice about knives. It's made a lot of them very wary of what their children are doing. I know a lot of them now, when they hear incidents about knife crime, they really sort of think, oh my God, it's, you know, it's more out there than we think about. And they're also very cautious, but they also very, a lot, they miss him, because he was quite a big character. He was a regular. We lived here 22 years, so everybody knew him. And yeah, it's quite hard for them there. I still have messages from his very close friends that say to him, you know, we still miss him. So it's really hard.
It's like a nice legacy, I
think. It will be Nicholas's legacy. Yeah. Sadly, it's his legacy. But, you know, there was a long time when all I wanted to do was get under the duvet and think my life is over. And we have two choices. Either we do something or we do nothing. And that's very much like the workshop. We have two choices. Either we do something about it or we do nothing. And if we're not going to do anything about it, then let's not moan about knife crime if we're not going to try and change it. And for me, it was a case of, I'm not someone who can just lay back and do nothing. It's, you know, let's see what we can do. Don't want anyone else to go through this, to be fair.